Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. My name is Jenna Gibson, and I'm the Associate Director for Communication Technology and Programs here at KEI. Today, I sit down with Keith Luce, the Executive Director of the National Committee on North Korea. Previously, he was the Senior East Asia Policy Advisor for Senator Richard Lugar at the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Mr. Luce has visited North Korea numerous times to deal with issues such as food aid, human rights, and the nuclear issue. Today, Mr. Luce and I discuss the recent deal between Seoul and Pyongyang to defuse tensions on the peninsula and how that deal could affect NGOs that are currently working within the DPRK. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Luce.
Thank you for having me.
Let's jump straight in. Can you give us a brief history of recent international NGO work in North Korea?
Presently, there are approximately 40, 45 Western NGOs operating inside North Korea, really varying stages of activity. Some programs are active, some are inactive presently. But I would say the majority of the NGOs who presently are in North Korea have been there for quite some time in some shape or form.
And are there any trends in the number of NGOs working? Have there been more recently or less recently?
I would say that in the last 3 to 5 years, probably about the same number. You know, it was up until probably 6 to 8 years ago that the United States was actively involved in North Korea in the distribution of food aid. And then when monitors were forced to leave, U.S. program subsequently ended, et cetera. And so as changes came about in North Korea with leadership and in other ways, that impacted the operation of humanitarian assistance as a whole, whether that be on the part of the U.S. government or on the part of humanitarian organizations.
This recent agreement that's been in the news quite a bit lately, interestingly, one of the main points in the agreement dealt with NGOs, but it's a little bit vague. I think in the agreement, the North and South agreed to vitalize NGO exchanges in various fields. How do you interpret this statement, and how do you envision both Koreas working to, quote-unquote, vitalize NGO exchanges in the future?
Well, I think the good news is that reference to NGO activity was included in the statement. And as you are aware, this is reflected in recent days by another meeting between North and South Korean officials related to family reunions. Today, there are, I believe, over 60,000 South Koreans who are of the opinion that they have family in the North and they would like to be selected by their government through the lottery system or whatever to be able to be a part of those visits. So the family reunion issue is one which both countries at least presently are talking. It remains to be seen, but I'm hopeful that this could, in fact, pave the way for discussion in other areas as well.
Obviously, North Korea poses a uniquely challenging environment in a lot of ways, one being that the level of control the government maintains over visitors of remove. How has this affected NGOs' ability to get things done in North Korea?
I think the answer to that, quite frankly, often rests with an individual NGO and the degree to which the length which that country, that NGO has been involved in North Korea working. There are circumstances where NGOs who've operated inside DPRK for an extensive period of time, NGO officials are able to develop a certain level of trust, especially with North Koreans at the local level, North Koreans with whom they interact on a regular basis. This also transcends from the general population to local officials. There are those occasions where local officials would perhaps advocate to leaders in Pyongyang on behalf of the operation of a certain NGO. However, that's not always the case. As you know, from time to time, North Korea will expel NGO officials from the country for reasons that only North Korea can explain. So, indeed, any NGO working inside North Korea does so, understanding that there is a certain level of uncertainty which accompanies their work there.
Right. So to follow up on that, in the last few years, the DPRK has been kicking out or even detaining some aid workers. Most recently, there was the Canadian pastor in January. How has this affected NGO work in the country? And does it make it hard to find staff willing to go into the DPRK?
It's been my experience that NGOs operating inside North Korea for an extended period of time do so knowing that there is always the possibility of unintentionally offending someone, perhaps someone in leadership. Or perhaps on the part of North Korea, there's a change of priorities in terms of areas that they would like to see emphasized as related to humanitarian engagement. But certainly, the point you raise is a good one, because that level of uncertainty does impact the thinking of some people who might have a humanitarian spirit, but in fact be discouraged from working in North Korea because of what they perceive as uncertain circumstances.
Do you think that this new agreement and the fact that North Korea has agreed to work on more cooperation with NGOs, do you think that that will affect in a positive way the ability for NGOs to work and to get staff going into the country?
It could. But I'll tell you that it would be impossible for me to predict how this will go. One thing that is certainly constant, leader Kim Jong-un, is the element of surprise. This is a leader who utilizes the element of surprise in many areas of his decision-making and in many areas of his leadership. And that speaks for itself. You can look at his time as leader in North Korea and identify a number of actions on his part that people either within the country or outside view as unexpected, as surprising. And the results, or shall we say the perceptions of his actions, are mixed according to what occurs. So I think it's impossible really to determine what will occur next. But I would simply say that South Korea, President Park Geun-hye, has emphasized time and time again her willingness to engage with North Korea in the humanitarian context. At the present time, it seems that there is little interaction of that sort occurring, without my attempting to diagnose why or why not. As relates to the United States or international NGOs operating in North Korea, obviously any type of agreement, any type of movement between the North and the South in terms of humanitarian engagement would probably bode well for outside groups either working in the country presently or who would have interest of engaging inside the DPRK future.
One concern is that the government of North Korea could be siphoning off aid, or that by working in the country, it's basically propping up the Kim regime. Especially if NGO activity increases under this deal, what can be done to ease those fears?
Well, that is a very good question. And as I've asked that question to NGOs working inside North Korea, because that question is often posed to me. The National Committee in North Korea has approximately 75 members, many of whom are officials of NGOs working inside North Korea. So this is a question we receive quite often. And I would just simply say it's impossible to answer.
So despite the DPRK's often hostile attitude towards NGOs, do you think that the real need for humanitarian aid in North Korea can supersede political obstacles going forward?
I don't know the answer to that. It's a very good question, which actually points to a two-way street. Indeed, within North Korea, there are a range of humanitarian-related issues. For example, there is the drought. Well, to what degree is the drought impacting ag production? That's tough for us to tell on the outside. So that's a concern. On the other hand, we know that North Korea, I've been informed, is exporting seafood to China. Well, that suggests that North Korea has capabilities in certain areas of of actually moving food outside of the country. As American and other NGOs are either presently working in the North or wanting to work inside North Korea, they are often asked by the North Koreans to provide seed or to provide some other type of ag-related product. And the question, though, that is asked by many of those NGOs is, how is the seed to be used inside the North? Will this be used for humanitarian purpose, or is this somehow tied to commercial production? I guess what I'm saying is the landscape within North Korea in terms of humanitarian need is changing. It may be improving in some ways. It may be the same or worse in others. And so the more that North Korea is open and transparent with outside NGOs in terms of the extent of the problem, this will be helpful. One concern that is quite serious is the multidrug-resistant tuberculosis problem. You have a number of American and other NGOs working inside North Korea on this issue alone, whether that be Christian Friends of Korea, whether that be the Eugene Bell Foundation, and there are others that are working on tuberculosis or multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. But because of limits on NGOs now working in North Korea, actually limits placed often by the outside, it is more difficult now to actually conduct a nationwide assessment of the extent of the multidrug-resistant tuberculosis problem. But what does this mean for North Korea? We don't know. Does this mean that multidrug-resistant TB could become a problem for South Korea or China? We don't know. So this is an example of a very uncertain situation in which no one is truly able to project what the outcome may be.
Okay, you mentioned something very interesting, because I think a lot of people assume that the biggest obstacle is North Korea itself, but you mentioned also outside obstacles. Can you talk a little bit more about that and I guess how you would have to also get permission from your own government to work in North Korea, I assume?
Yes, this is a fascinating point because there are two areas really of challenge to Americans working inside North Korea. One area relates to new legislation, H.R. 757, pending in the House, which I anticipate will probably pass the House in the near future. This bill actually contains a provision which would, in essence, prohibit Americans working inside North Korea to engage in transactions with entities connected to the government of North Korea. Well, just about anything in that country is connected to the government of North Korea. So, if this legislation, as written, becomes law, it is my personal opinion that it may very well shut down American NGOs working in the North. What does this portend, for example, for the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology? Would Pust be affected by this? So, one area of impact on NGOs from outside North Korea is legislation. Another area involves American policy governing the issuance of visas. North Koreans want to visit the United States, and often humanitarian groups from the U.S. dealing in North Korea would like to bring North Korean visitors here, perhaps for medical training, perhaps for training in terms of agriculture production. Well, the United States government continues a policy it has for quite some time of generally disapproving requests for North Koreans to visit the United States, really under any circumstances, unless they be connected to the mission in New York. So this is an example of an external factor indirectly impacting the work of American NGOs inside North Korea, because there are those occasions where Americans working inside North Korea believe that their work would be enhanced by the ability for North Koreans to come here and to become trained in matters and projects of a humanitarian nature. One of the areas that's fascinating, there are members of the Korean American Medical Association who travel to North Korea for the purpose of performing surgeries. They would very much like to be able to see North Korean surgeons visit the United States and other areas for the purpose of instruction.
So back to the agreement between the North and the South, do you see this as a positive step forward, or do you think that it is more rhetoric at this point?
It would be inappropriate for me to answer that because I don't know the answer. I am hopeful that both governments, the Republic of Korea and North Korea, reach this agreement in good faith. Presently, I need to take both governments at their word. Time will tell whether or not that trust was well-founded.
Do you have any other parting thoughts for our listeners on the topic of NGOs working in North Korea?
For me personally, this has been a fascinating topic, which I've watched now or been involved with for over 12 years. And I've been so impressed with the commitment of many Americans who are committed to helping those in North Korea who cannot help themselves, the elderly, children, and others. And so it is through their humanitarian efforts that many lives have been saved, and that many in North Korea have learned about the goodwill of American citizens. So I view that as a very positive. But today you have correctly outlined a number of questions, a number of challenges to ongoing American humanitarian assistance inside that country, and only time will tell whether or not this continues.
Thank you very much for joining us today and sharing your insights about this fascinating subject. Our guest today was Keith Luce, the Executive Director of the National Committee on North Korea. Thank you for listening and hope to see you again next time.